feels a lot strange. Going over, okay, you're doing this, no, I'll do this. You do that, I'll do this. Okay, so hopefully we got it all figured out today. And I just want to thank everybody for being here today. I'm gracious that God brought you here. It's awesome to get the church gathered back together. So with that saying, let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just an absolutely gorgeous day. We're enjoying the little bit of cooler weather because we know it won't be long and it won't be cool anymore. So we'll enjoy it while we have it. Father, I want to thank you for bringing this group together. It's a group that loves to dive into your word, loves to be in community. We'll talk about more about that today. But Lord, now we've been called to worship. We've confessed our sins so there should be nothing between you and us, so we could sit here with open minds, open hearts, and hear what you have to say. With that in mind, God, may my words be your words, and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So if you've been with us in this journey, you know we've been on the second leg of a three-legged study on the Believe series. Last year we studied about, as Christians, what do we believe? What are the things that we believe? This year we're going into, as Christians, what are the things that we do? What are our disciplines? What do we need to do to get closer to you? Justin's been leading us so far, and we started out with a good place to start out, with worship. And he shared with us that when we worship, it's not just coming here on Sunday and worship. Worshiping is everything that we do every day. Whether we're at work, we're at home, we're out with friends, everything we do is a form of worship. The next thing we went into was prayer. And prayer is kind of a cornerstone of what we do, because this is where God gets to meet us, we get to meet God. This is how he knows us. The one awesome thing about prayer is we get a chance to talk to God. Whether it be a breath prayer, God help, or an on your knees for an hour, thanking God for all the wonderful things he's done for us, or laying it out, God help me, what's going on? Help me with my life. But one of the most important parts of prayer, I think one that we overlook most times, is once you're done with your prayer, be still. Be quiet. Close your minds up to all the stuff around you and listen to what God might discern to you. I was talking to someone recently who was actually shared with me that they were afraid of that part. What if God did put something on my heart that wasn't going to be easy? Awesome. Let that happen. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing if God put something on your heart that you could share? If he gives it to your heart, there's got to be a reason for it. The next thing we talked about was Bible study. The key there was I study the Bible to know God, his truth, and to find direction for my daily life. This is not just a storybook. This is our story. This is God's story. As Dustin said, 66 books written by 40 authors, yet there's still threads that go through that connect everything. And in most places, you can find yourself in there somewhere. And the amazing thing about reading the Bible is how often, if you have a favorite scripture and you reread it, you see something different. Joan, how many times have you read through the whole Bible? 22nd trip through the Bible. That's amazing. But I will guarantee you, even at that, there'll be something she'll find this time she didn't see last time. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. There's always new stuff for you to pick up on. The next thing we talked about was single-mindedness. In a word, focus. It's easy to lose focus in today's world. There's so much going on, especially right now. I mean, there's so much within our world, within the internationally, good, bad, and otherwise. Right now, it's really easy to lose focus with the fear about, the media's really building up this flu, and it scares people. But it's easy to lose focus on where your focus should be, with God. The last one that we did last week was total surrender. Basically, and I think this is a tough one for everybody. Given taking over, taking your problems, given your situations, and handing it over to God. Because we're such a society that wants to take care of ourselves. You know, we're the do-it-yourselfers. We're the independent people. We can do this. We can, with God's help. You got to be able to turn things over to God. And that's a struggle for a lot of us. Now, as Dustin was sharing with you, all these things are part of what makes a base for ourselves, a foundation. And he talked about the iron pyrite, the fool's gold, compared to regular gold, on how it looks pretty, but it's absolutely worthless, compared to gold, which has many uses. And I want to share another analogy using his elements of gold. Think of gold jewelry, how beautiful it is, how pretty it is when you wear it, when you have it. But we can also have pretty jewelry. That's costume jewelry. Two totally different things. But from first sight, they can look very much the same. But like Christians, where our faith can get tested, where we can get bounced around, where we can feel unsure. When we have those things, like gold, if it's a little dinged up, it can be polished, it can be redone. Worst case scenario, we can melt it down and transform it back into something beautiful. Can't do that with costume jewelry. If it gets run in life, it's used a lot, it also gets dull around the edges, the gold flaking starts to come off. Once it gets to that point, there's not a lot you can do with it. I remember when my sister was little, her taking some of my mom's old costume jewelry and spray painting it and trying to make it pretty again. You know, covering imperfection with imperfection. It's all about having a true and good base, a good foundation to hold you when things aren't so well, to be able to get back in line. Now today our discussion is going to be on biblical community. And the key word phrase for today is I fellowship with Christians to accomplish God's purpose in my life, in the lives of others, and in the world. Now I got to be honest with you. When Dustin and I first sat down and talked about which one of these I want to do, I had the choice of the complete surrender or communities. Which would you choose? Yeah, there was no, I'll do this one. But, and one of the reasons I did pick this one is it seemed, on the surface, it seemed really easy. Because as a church group, we got this, right? Don't we have a lot of groups, communities? We got men's group, we have ladies group, we have multiple Bible studies. We have all kinds of different communities within our church. And that's awesome. If you're not in a community, try to figure out how to get into one. If you were part of this series and you watched the video that from Randy Frazee's did on this, he talked about the statistics of people who were in community versus people who weren't, just in general community, nothing to do with church. For instance, if you've had some major health issues and you're trying to recover, people who are part of a community who have support recover at a much greater rate than those who do not. In fact, there are many situations, statistics that show if people do not have some sort of support system, they actually will die within 2 or 3 years. Community is important mental-wise. If you've ever been, I used to have to go to Miami frequently, and you'd be around some of the people who've been homeless for a number of years. You can tell that their cognitive reasoning has just disappeared, because they don't have a community to share with. Even in homeless communities, most times they separate themselves. This was one of the reasons that we stressed so hard with my mother to get her into an assisted living place, because she spent so much time alone that her cognitive reasoning was suffering. Her communication skills were suffering. But once we got her back into the community, within 2-3 weeks, it all started improving. That's why you got to be in part of a community. If you are not part of a community, I suggest if you have someone here that you've connected with, touch their shoulders. Hey, want to get a cup of coffee? Want some breakfast? Start your own community. Get involved in a community. One of the things about community in the Bible is it's one of the very first things in the Bible. Once God created this beautiful garden, he created it so he could have community with man. So he created man. He created Adam. So now he had community with Adam. But it says in the Bible that it's not good for man to be alone. So we all know the story. He put Adam to sleep, took a rib out, made woman, and it was very, very good, according to God. So there was the very first community. Now we know that that community had some little rough times at some point, but God never completely left them. They still stay part of a community. Throughout the Bible, there's more and more illustrations of community. Moses was part of several different communities. Each one of those communities developed him into the person he became. Noah had a community. The disciples had probably the ultimate community. But the interesting thing about the disciples were every one of them joined the group, not for the group, but to be with Jesus. But the time they spent together communicating and being together, they became an ultimate community. So with that, let's kind of go to our scripture for today. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. So one of the first big parts of this whole thing was kind of like what brings us all together. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. We may not have everything in common, but we have a lot in common. We get together as our group, our Bible studies, our men's group. We're together as a group of people trying to seek out God's, discern God's will for ourselves, try to get closer to God. That's what we have in common together. But I'm looking at this scripture. And if you were to plant a church, wouldn't this be a beautiful way of planting a church? I mean, we talked about they were interested in keeping, making sure that everybody had all their needs taken care of. They were breaking bread together. So Dustin and I were talking last night about the importance, the significance of a group that sits down and breaks bread together. It just unites everything and brings it all together. Of course, praising and enjoying each other. So we all have these groups. We have, like I said, these men's group. My question is for you, are they succeeding? And what is the measure of success? One of my favorite pastors, other than Dustin, of course, is John Ortberg. In a session today, this past week, there was a video that we were watching, and he was talking in this video. It wasn't exactly the same subject, but it was very similar. And he was talking about a gentleman who came to our church years ago. He said, and the bottom way to describe this guy, he was just a grumpy man. But the man came to church regularly. He came, he was a regular attendance. He tithed correctly. He went to Bible studies. He was part of committees. But after 30 years, you know what they said about him? Now he was a grumpy old man. There was something missing. After all those years, there was never transformation. We have to make sure within our church, within our groups, within what we do together, that we can get transformation. He didn't get God into his heart. There's a couple ways. We could spend an hour easily just on this subject. But there's some different things that we can do within our groups to check to see if we're successful. One of the very first things is God wants you to be part of his community. When you have your groups, are you asking God to come and be part of your community? That's first and foremost. God needs to be there. In your small groups, if, like I said, you invite somebody out for dinner, make sure you invite God to be with you. That's the very beginning. The thing about transformation, and this is from a lady that we saw in church, or in the meeting this past month, Ruth Haley Barton. She said, transformation takes place incrementally over time with the disciplines and practices that open us up to God. All those things we talked about. Don't expect a transformation to happen overnight, but it sure shouldn't take 30 years. Spiritual transformation is central to the message of the gospel. Therefore, it is central to our message of the church. It should be first and foremost what we do. And a lot of this is, like I said, inviting God is the first step. But a lot of it is your communication within your groups. Are you listening to what you're being told about their lives? Are you invested in their lives? Or are we just a group of people that are meeting together to talk? One thing you'll find out if you talk to people that perhaps God has put something, a desire on their hearts. What can you do to help those desires? Talk them through it. There's several things in this book from Barton that wrote that really hit home with me. When you have communication, and this is something I was talking to Dustin about yesterday, when you have communication with people in your group, if they're sharing things with you, give them a minute to share that thing with you. How often have we had discussions where someone is sharing something with you and you connect with that story? Oh, that same thing happened to me. Halfway through, you know what? I had the exact same thing happen. You tell your story. How often do we do that? Once I started realizing this and I started watching the face of the people we were talking to, you see them shut down. You've taken their story away. You've taken their time away. Don't do that. When people are sharing with you, one of the suggestions in this book was, before you answer, look to God. Is there something he wants you to say? Then look at the person. Try to get a feel for where they're at. Look at God one more time. Then speak. Let there be this little bit of silence in there. Other things is, it's just like I said, when people share their desires, how do we nurture that? How do we hold them accountable for those things? So I got four questions I'm also going to throw at you to ask your group. And if you've done this study, you probably already had this. And we had some struggle with a few of these. Can you answer these questions properly? In my group, I have a close relationship with other Christians who have an influence on my life's decisions. Is your group close enough that what you do, what together, what you learn, are actually affecting your life? Second question. I participate in a group of Christians who really know me and support me. Do you know people in your group? Are you able to give them support if they need support someplace? I'm going to skip the third one and come back to it. Fourth one, I daily pray for and support my other Christians. Do we do that within our group? Do we pray for each other? Do we pray for our group as a whole? Now, the last one I'm going to throw out at you was one that we get a little struggle with. And when you hear it, you might too. I allow other Christians to hold me accountable for my actions. How many of you can say that? Within your group, if there's something that maybe isn't quite where it should be, are you open to someone holding you accountable to that? Flip side of that, how willing are you if someone in your group is doing something that well, he doesn't seem to fit what should be doing. Are you willing to put yourself out there to call them on it? Now, within our group, a lot of it came down to, because our group has actually been together for, between 6 and 7 years. When we first did the story, it was a very long Bible study. That group has been together pretty much, some of the faces have changed, but we've been together for a long time. So within our context of our group, we do have some of this. Caveats were depending on how it was approached. You know, if you come ask somebody, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, that's not going to be taken too well. But also, if someone comes, if you're doing something within your group that maybe you need to be held accountable for, and they're doing it in a loving manner, are you up to taking that? So, what's our next steps? With all that you've learned today, where can we go when you start meeting with your groups? Or can you start a new group? Can you start a new community of believers who are like-minded and had all things similar? And with that, can you make sure that you call God, ask God to come and join you? Can you be intimate in your conversations? Can you be open with your conversations with each other? Can you be willing to be held accountable and hold others accountable? If we can do this, along with all the other disciplines that we've talked about so far, just think how this church can do. We're doing flourishing studies in this church. This is the way to get this church flourishing. Open up your hearts to each other. Make sure your groups are accountable to each other. And please, please, make sure you invite God into your groups. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as I said before, we have an awesome, awesome group of covenant partners. These are people who have come to see you, come to hear your word. They invest in their time, their efforts, their finances, into this church, into each other, into you. I just pray, Lord, that we can make sure that we are doing things the way we're supposed to be doing, that we are transforming our own lives and those around us. That we are open to each other, that we invite you in to be with us. Lord, we all know that you want us to be part of you. The least we can do is invite you to be in with us. I pray that we can put together a group of people who are willing to do what it takes to continue to make this a flourishing, wonderful church that it has become. Now, Lord, I ask you to watch over this world. All the stuff going on in this world, it's become a crazy, crazy place. We need to know that you're there, and we know you're there, but it scares us anyway. With wars, with sickness, with oppression in places, it can be a volatile place, Lord. We need you there. Lord, come to our country. Hold it. Help us bring our country together, at least in ways that we can be civil to each other, that we can work through things together, not pointing fingers, just work together. God, I want you to watch over this church, this congregation, the youth, all the wonderful things that are going on within this church, including our partners, whether they be in Mexico, or in the college campuses, or flying supplies and missionaries all over the world. God, I ask you to watch over our families. Keep them healthy, keep them safe. And Lord, watch over each one of us individually. You know our issues more than we do. You know what we need more than we even do. Just ask that you let us know that you're there. Put your arms around each and every one of us so we can feel your warmth, your grace. I ask all these things in your holy, wonderful name. Amen.